Y'all, pardon me if I take an extra minute or two here. Thank you, Elizabeth and Alice, for sharing that with us. That is actually Elizabeth's second time this weekend singing that. Yesterday was our School of Music recital day, and there were recitals of so many young people and children in this room over 10 o'clock, 12 o'clock, and 2 o'clock period where our School of Music was hosting their recitals, and got to hear so much lovely music and see so many things. I want to thank Dennis Adams, our Associate Pastor of Music and Worship, who also leads the School of Music, which is a major way of connecting into our community and sharing, allowing children and teenagers to develop their gifts for God, to do musical, use their musical gifts in so many ways. So certainly want to mention that and be aware of all that. And again, Elizabeth and Alice, thank you for doing that. And all right, I think as a dad, I've gotten my composure so we can move forward. Welcome to the third week of Advent Conspiracy. Don't y'all feel excited? It's the third week. We have already learned so much. We have committed to doing Christmas differently this year, to participating in a Christmas revolution. Already we've... And today we get to the day that we've all... To spend less. And today we get to the day that we've all been waiting for. Give more. It's our favorite theme, our most exciting time. This is the theme today, giving more. And I just want to thank you all. You've already responded so well to our Advent Conspiracy offering with such great generosity. Last Sunday, we already had right at 100 coats here, where we have these 100 coats that are going to students at Epps Elementary and at Yates Elementary, because we have been informed by their leaders. We partner with Yates already. We're starting conversations with Epps. And what we've discovered is there are a number of children who have need for warm coats this year. So we have been collecting new coats. And now we had 100 of these coats as of last Sunday. And folks, we've had like coat multiplication happening all week long. I've seen carts of coats go by. Coats have been shipped here. And we just have coats. I can't wait to get a final total. Today is the day we need to turn those in, because we want to take them to the schools. We've got to sort them tomorrow, and then we want to take them to schools on Tuesday so that students can have these coats over Christmas break. Because you know what happens over Christmas breaks? Occasionally in the South, it gets cold. So we want to make sure that these students have these coats so that they'll be ready for the cold weather. Thank you so much for all the coats we're going to have. I can't wait till next Sunday when we can say what our final total was in terms of giving coats. But y'all have been so generous. And we've already been generous. We started to get monies for our Advent Conspiracy financial offering as well. You may remember that we're splitting that offering between building a roof for a family in Puerto Rico. We work through a ministry of Iglesias Bautista Metropolis. There's a ministry that they partner with there called Roofs for My People. And this past May, as you can see from our picture, this past May, we actually got to go and have a group go and build a roof on a house. And this year, what we're doing is we are putting aside hopefully $7,000 for all the materials for a roof. And then we want to go again in 2020 and we want to build another roof. So not only do we get to build a roof, we get to finance a roof as well. And that's one of the things you're giving to with your Advent Conspiracy offering. The other thing you're doing with your Advent Conspiracy offering is we are having the opportunity to renovate a dorm building. It's the picture, and it's the building in the foreground in the picture behind me, not the red roof one, the other one. That building has been at Camp Hargita for decades, and it's in need of some major TLC, some major renovation. That building houses children week in and week out to do God's work, and this is a Baptist camp of the Hungarian Baptist Convention, and children come, yes, that's right, I said Hungarian Baptist Convention, even though we're in Romania, long story, but there's a large portion of Hungarian-speaking people in Romania, and so we have gone to Romania for 25 different years here, been in partnership with them, and for the last 12 or so, we've been going to this camp, and this camp, friends, is the epicenter of spiritual work that's being done in the Hargita section of Romania. There are about 10 Baptist pastors that Pastor Dennis and I got to meet with earlier in July, and they talked about how important this camp is to the ministry and the work that they do in their villages around. And so we get to help continue to rehabilitate this dormitory so that it can continue to receive children, so the churches around the Hargita area can do their ministry of calling people to follow Jesus Christ. So we're hoping to put $7,000 there and $7,000 to a roof in Puerto Rico. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be fantastic if we, this year, through your generosity, could first of all, with our regular tithes and offerings, fully fund our church budget? Right now, we're only about $12,000 away from having that fully funded by the end of the year. We're really close. We could also have given 150 coats to Epps and Yates Elementary, and then have given to build a roof in Puerto Rico and given to rehabilitate the dormitory in Romania. Wouldn't that be a great Christmas? Say yes. Yes, wake up. It'd be a fantastic Christmas of doing God's work, not only locally, but around the world. It would be fantastic to see God's faithfulness played out that way with our generosity. This is fantastic, isn't it? You come to church to feel good about yourself at Christmas, and you have to listen to that preacher talk about money the whole time. And to make it worse, you have to listen to that preacher tell you to give money all the time. Nothing's worse than that, right? Well, actually, it is worse. I'm not only going to ask you to give more money, your money, to God's work in the church and God's mission around the world. I'm going to ask you to sacrifice. I'm not going to ask you to just give a little bit of money you can spare. I'm going to ask you to put down something that you want this Christmas. Maybe some extra sweet tea that you buy at Chick-fil-A. Maybe a few trips out to restaurants. Maybe some gifts or toys that you were really hoping to give to yourself because you've earned it. I'm going to ask you to say no to some of those things and ask you to sacrifice so that children can have coats, so that people in Puerto Rico can have a roof over their heads, and so that a dormitory in Romania can get fitted and rehabilitated so that children can stay there so that they can hear the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. I'm going to even ask you to go out and eat less, to have less gifts, and maybe even ask you to change your standard of living so you can practice greater generosity. I'm going to ask you to give sacrificially. But actually, it gets even worse. I'm going to ask you to reevaluate how you spend your time. I'm going to ask you to consider how you're spending your time this Advent season. And in the days of the season that you have left, I'm going to ask you to stop working so hard and so much. I'm going to ask you to stop rushing around so much. I'm going to ask you to take your to-do list that's on paper on your phone, and I'm going to ask you to take 3/4 of it and tear it off and throw it in the trash can. Now, you're going to have to choose which portions you throw away, but I'm going to ask you to throw it away. I'm going to ask you to do all those things so that you can give your full presence to your family members and friends, and you can have conversation, listening, and love happening in those relationships. I'm going to ask you to give up looking at your phone. Now we're really talking. I'm going to ask you to stop living your life with your earbuds in your ears. I'm going to ask you to stop vegging out in front of the TV. I'm going to ask you to do all those things so that you can spend more time paying actual attention to the eyes and to the person that's in front of you, and you can actually have a real face-to-face conversation with your close friends, your family, and your neighbors. I'm going to ask you to give more time in authentic connection rather than in superficial conversation like, hey, how are you doing? I haven't seen you in a while. Oh, I'm fine. How are you? I'm going to ask you to actually do what it takes to engage in some real relationship. But actually, it gets worse. I'm going to ask you to give more time and energy to serving and befriending people that you do not know and even people you do not like. I'm going to ask you to share a meal with a homeless neighbor Invest in building a friendship with the person in your neighborhood who votes and believes differently than you do. I'm going to ask you to befriend and care for and start getting a connection with someone who speaks a different language than you do. In other words, I want you to spend some time investing in serving someone who's not going to necessarily reciprocate your serving. I'm going to ask you to order your time in such a way that you are generous to people in your life who have views that may disgust you, who may have even hurt you. And I'm going to ask you, for the ones that have hurt you, to go even one more and start thinking and practicing forgiveness in their direction. But actually, it gets even worse. I'm going to ask you to give up your whole life for the sake of fully loving Jesus and fully loving others. I'm going to ask you to make your entire life about giving more, all in the name of Jesus. So just to make sure we're clear here, just to make sure there's no ambiguity, here is what I'm asking this morning. I'm going to ask you to give up more of your money, more of your time, more servanthood, more forgiveness, more energy to people who don't think like you and to people who may not even like you and certainly who don't vote like you. And I'm going to ask you to give up this time and this energy, and I'm going to ask you to give up your entire life to Jesus without reservation. Why? Because that's what He did for you. Whether you know Him or not, whether you believe in Him or not, every single person in this room, every single person on Facebook Live, every single person in this city and in this country and in this world has been given life by the grace and generosity of God through Jesus Christ. And as ones who have decided to follow Him, we have a choice to make, and that choice is very simply, with everything we have in our lives, will we give more in generous grace the way Jesus Christ gave His generous grace in giving His life to us? That is our choice and our challenge. So really, it's not me asking you to do this at all. This is God's calling. This is God's invitation. It's an invitation that will rock your world and change your life. Let's read John 1, 1 through 9. Together, if you will. You can find it on the screen behind us. You can also find it in the Bible in the pew rack in front of you. I've already told you you can't look at the screens on your phone, but I guess it's okay if you're looking at the Bible. I mean, you know. That was a joke, by the way. Everybody good? In the beginning was the Word. Notice the word Word is capitalized. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness does not understand it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all people might believe. John himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man, every person, was coming into the world. We notice that the Word is capitalized. The Word is capitalized because it's John's initial name for Jesus. And he points out that Jesus is with God from the very beginning. And then he begins to describe God's creative effort and energy. God is the giver of creation, and in God, all of creation comes forth due to His remarkable generosity. Now, as I said in the Sunday school class that I taught this morning, let's be real clear here. God is not saying, you know, forget about all the science, forget about all that stuff in the world. God does not give us a textbook on how He does this. There's no periodic table here listed in the Bible. There's none of those things listed there. That's not God's purpose. God's purpose is to tell us, who did creation? Who is the author of all that is and all that we find? Science is a way that God has given us because as human beings, we are created in God's image. And therefore, we are able to make decisions. We are able to make choices. We are also able to reason and research. And as we research and understand and see more of the great mysteries of our world, we find out how much more God has done that we have yet to understand. And over as we study and as we learn and as we research, more and more mysteries are made apparent to us. And as we grow and as we see one new mystery that is solved, 10 new mysteries come into being because God is bigger than we could ever understand or ever research away. But what we need to understand about this passage is that John is telling us that all things are made through God's creative energy, and God creates out of remarkable generosity. Because, friends, God did not have to create us. God did not have to create this world. God created all that is out of His desire for beauty and wonder and goodness. So God creates the beauty of the views of the mountains. He creates the wonder of the sea. He creates all that is around us. And He does it with beauty. And then God creates human beings. He creates animals. He creates the ground. And about those human beings, He creates us all individually. We are not manufactured on some heavenly assembly line. We are molded by a master craftsman so that all of us are different with unique DNA and features, personalities, and stories. All of us wonderfully created and called good by God Himself. Oh, and by the way, those human beings that we're talking about, God made life pretty wonderful. Think about it. God made us to eat. He made the digestive process. He made all that. But He didn't have to make food taste good. He didn't have to make sweet tea taste sweet. He didn't have to make the wonder of food and delicacies. He didn't have to give us taste buds. Eating is for fuel for us to live. Drinking water and drinking is for fuel to make us live. But He gave us taste buds so that we could taste and see that the Lord is good. God gave us the ability to taste, not because we had to taste, but for grace, for the wonder and the joy of it all. God created creation and gave us life, not because He had to, but because He wanted to. And God made this life delicious. Now, there's this thing also about these human beings. I don't know if you've noticed it, but we have this tendency to want things our way. You ever notice that about yourself? Deep down, we want things our way. Now, we may be able to push this off. We may be able to, as we've grown in relational skills, we may be able to see the benefits of having things other people's way. But deep down, we want things our way. And at root, at our worst selves, we will do what it takes to get things our way. It's called selfishness. Has anybody ever been selfish before? Anybody sitting next to anybody who's been selfish before? Oh, yeah, y'all are brave. All right, so we have the tendency to be selfish. It's ingrained in us. We have the freedom to choose. We get to choose whether we're going to go God's way or whether it's a way where we choose our own way, a selfish way. And every one of us, at one point or another, chooses selfishness. Selfishness leads to sin. Sin is the break between human beings and God. Because God is perfection. God is perfect love and perfect grace, and our selfishness separates us from that. And God looks at that selfishness, and He looks at that brokenness, and He looks at all the results of human selfishness: evil, racism, prejudice, ugliness, meanness, war, genocide. All of the results that you and I could name that are the results of human sin and selfishness. God looks at all that, and believe it or not, God has some choices. God could look at all of the mess that we've made of our lives and the mess that we've made of this world, and God could say, you know what? I'm done. And just walk off. How many times have you seen human relationships where it just gets too hard for people to make it work, and somebody just puts their hands up and says, I'm done. And they leave. Some of you may wrestle with someone who did that to you when you were a child. Some of you may be wrestling and experiencing that right now. God had that choice. God didn't do that. God had another choice. God could have looked at all of us and said, man, what a mess. I'm going to wipe the hard drive clean. We're going to do a hard reboot here. And we're going to start this whole thing over. We're going to get rid of all this ugliness. And we're going to start fresh with some new people. Now, before you think that's crazy, I want you to remember the story of Noah and the ark. Why we make that into a children's story, I will never know, because it's terrifying. When God is speaking to Noah, and God says to Noah in a promise, I will never again destroy this world by a flood. And God at that point says, I am not going to be about destruction of what I've created. I'm going to be about the redemption of what I have created. And from that point forward, God begins a new plan. It's a new plan where he says, I am going to be about bringing people back to me and offering the opportunity for people to come back and be in relationship with me. I'm going to send love. I'm going to tell them about my love. I'm going to tell them about my grace. I'm going to speak it to them through prophets, through a nation of Israel. And then at just the right time, I'm going to do something remarkable. I'm going to do something that is unheard of in all of human history. I'm going to do the ultimate gift of generosity. Reading, starting with John 1:10. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Jesus came to what was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word, Jesus himself, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. But in God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. When God confronted the brokenness, the sin, and the destructionness of all humankind, he chose one way to respond. And that way was Jesus. The fancy theological word we use for this is called incarnation. Incarnation, a beautiful word. It means literally in the flesh. You may have eaten in a Mexican restaurant and noticed on the menu carne asada. Carne means flesh, meat. Meat. In carne, in the flesh. God came in the flesh into our world. God sent Jesus Christ, who was fully God and fully human being, all at the same time, in order that we would see what God looked like, in order that we would see what a life with God could look like. And then in Jesus, God invited us all back into relationship with Him. For all that would believe in Him, for all that would receive Him by asking Him to forgive our sin and lead their lives, He gave the opportunity to become children of God. We are all invited back into relationship with God through God sending His Son, Jesus Christ. Friends, that's giving more. That's giving it all. In football terms, that's called leaving it all on the field. That's radical generosity. And when you think about what God is like, particularly at this season of the year, what we must think, what we must know, what we must understand is God is the perfection of gracious generosity and love to all creation. We give more because God gave all. Allow me to read John 1, 14 through 18 to you again, this time from the Message paraphrase, because it gives such a beautiful picture of what God is giving to all of us through Jesus. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. John pointed him out and called, "This is the one I told you was coming after me, but in fact was ahead of me. He has always been ahead of me. He has always had the first word." We all live off of His generous bounty, gift after gift after gift. We got the basics from Moses, and then this exuberant giving and receiving, the endless knowing and understanding, all this came through Jesus, the Messiah. No one has ever seen God, not so much as a glimpse. This one-of-a-kind God expression, who exists at the very heart of the Father, has made Him plain as day. We all live off of God's generous bounty, gift after gift after gift. When we were all at our most broken, God gave His all to us in His Son. Incarnation, the most radically generous act that's ever been done. As ones who are called to follow Jesus, friends, we are called to imitate Jesus. Ephesians 5:1 tells us, "Be imitators of Christ as His dearly loved children," which means, friends, we're not called to be tippers in our generosity. We're called to the same radical generosity that God displayed when He sent Jesus Christ. So once again, I am going to ask you, not simply as your pastor, but as one who is reading and trying to bring forth the very Word of God itself. When I say to you, give more. When I say to me, give more of our money. Honestly, churches are not nearly as good at generosity as they think they are. There's a study done in 2015 that showed that in most churches, 3 to 5% of the people tithe. Now, what does tithing mean? Tithing means 10% of your income to the work of the church. In the Old Testament, tithing was the first tenth of your gifts went to the temple, went to the tabernacle before the temple. And those gifts were used to take care of the worship facilities. They were used for the Levites. They were used for the priest. And they were used to provide food for any people in the community, the Jewish community, the Israelite community, who were suffering and hungry, and for any alien or foreigner who happened to wander by who was hungry and in need. Only 3 to 5% of congregation members, according to that survey, do this. As a matter of fact, that survey said that American Christians give less today per capita, adjusted for inflation, than American Christians did during the Great Depression. Think about that for just a second. American Christians, in the time where we had our greatest financial challenges as a nation, American Christians during that era gave more per capita than American Christians now. In this season where we talk about being in the height of abundance, where the stock market is higher than it's ever been, and where we talk about our economic boom, why is it that we have more and we are less generous? Maybe we have not challenged ourselves enough. Christian generosity is not dropping a few extra dollars in the plate on Sunday when we feel good about the service or when the preacher looks handsome. It's not putting a few extra dollars in the kettle at Walmart after we spent most of our money on ourselves and the people that we love the most. Generosity is about sacrificial giving. When we live out God's love here at Advent, we deliberately spend less in order to help others more in the name of Jesus. And the more we give away, the less we are owned by stuff, which we talked about last week when we talked about spending less. Friends, when we take the challenge to spend less and give more, we change the world. We change the world. You know how I know? Because you have done it. Any of you remember back to 2015 when we started Advent Conspiracy together? In 2015, we challenged one another. We said, let's spend less in order to give more. And what we decided to do was we spent money on wells in a couple of places that were parched in India. And you know what we did? We built 6.5 wells. A couple years later, during Vacation Bible School, our children took up an offering. And they, through their offerings, built another well. And because of what you did, because you spent less and gave more, because you drank less sweet tea, because you went out less, because you bought something less for yourself, because maybe you even decided to buy an older car rather than a newer car, maybe you even decided to work an extra job and give all of that money to Advent Conspiracy, whatever it was that you did, because you did it, people are drinking clean water today. There are children that are alive because they did not drink water that was filled with pollutants and filled with pests and filled with bacteria. There are children that are alive today because you spent less and gave more. Thanks be to God. When you give more, you change the world. Let's think about something else. A year or two later, we challenged one another to give money to Iglesia Bautista Metropolis in Puerto Rico. We challenged one another because they were in a building program to build their sanctuary. They had been worshiping in a tent for 19 years. And friends, I mean a tent. Okay, now it had air conditioning and it had restrooms that were cinder block off the side, but the main building was a tent. They'd been worshiping in there for 19 years, saving their money, preparing. They scaled down their building so they'd build it, and they were building this wonderful concrete worship center that they called the Temple to God. And it was a beautiful facility, a rock-hardened facility, but they couldn't quite get done. So our church partnered with them to pay some of the final electrical contracting pieces so they could turn the electricity on and worship together. In December of the end of that Christmas, they were able to stop using generators and they were able to turn it on and begin to worship together. 8 months later, in September, Hurricane Maria struck. That building stood strong. It had some leaks, had a couple of things, but it stood strong. Now, it lost power like everything else on the island did. But remember, they had a generator. So they were able to keep going. And their building became the hub for rebuilding for their whole area and their whole community. By the way, the tent was destroyed. It was shredded into a million pieces. We came through just in the nick of time so that they could do the work that God gave them to do, and so that their building could not only become a site of worship, their building could become the epicenter for healing for their whole community. Out of this building, people collected batteries, they collected water, they collected clothing, they collected tarps, they collected so many different things so people could come and have it distributed while they couldn't get things from their local government and they couldn't get things from FEMA. Oh, and by the way, the next year at Advent Conspiracy, we helped them purchase a van, a new-to-them van. Now, we joined with a couple of other churches around the country. We joined with Cooperative Baptist Fellowship of Florida and Cooperative Baptist Fellowship National and put all that money together, and they got a van. And that van was driven all over that island to hand out water and tarps and food to people that other folks couldn't get to. That van was driven all around the island and handed out things and told and lived out the love of Jesus. And now that van drives dozens of mission teams to places, to homes where roofs are being built, and to places of ministry where things are happening so that the island, the people of Puerto Rico, can restore themselves. That van that you helped give is transforming an island. I do have to confess, when we went in May, the team went to do our work and build the roof that we went, they didn't let me drive that van. The reason was because I had not proven myself as an official Puerto Rican driver. If you've ever been in Puerto Rico and seen how they drive, you understand. But now I'm proud to proclaim to you, I have proven myself and my Puerto Rican driving capabilities. Thank you very much. Thank you. I have learned how to turn left on red, by golly. I have learned how to do a U-turn across six lanes of traffic. I have learned to reverse down a major highway. These are things that you must know in Puerto Rico before you can drive the good van. Your help made ministry happen. Because of you, because God used you to spend less and give more, there are people alive on the island of Puerto Rico today. Thanks be to God. Over and over and over again, God has taken our Advent Conspiracy offerings and used them to change the world. Every time you give more, friends, God is the God of compounding interest. And He makes it more. But I don't want you to just give more financially this Christmas. I want you to give more relationally. I want you to give more to the relationships that matter the most. I want you to give more in relationship. I was making my Christmas list the other day. I'm a little bit behind. I was making my Christmas list. And you know what I noticed? The things that I want the most don't cost any money. They just cost some time. They just cost some organization. My Christmas list. I want some rich conversations with my children. I want some extended dates and coffee time with my wife. I want some time to catch up on my reading and exercise. I want some memorable moments and laughter with friends. I want some time to serve others in my neighborhood. Maybe I get to grill out for some folks. All those are great gifts. You know the only thing keeping me from having those gifts? Me. Throwing some things off my to-do list to spend more time doing the things that matter. None of these things involve exchanging possessions at all. They require me to give myself, just like Jesus did. You still have time, friends. You can make some plans today for how you're going to give yourself relationally this season. Set aside some time. You've got 10 days before it melts away. By the way, as we close, you can actually give physical gifts that are relational as well. I received one of the most amazing gifts the other day. It was actually so amazing that I forgot to notice if it was for my birthday or for Christmas. I don't think it really matters. I got a card, and the card said something like this. Since you love goats so much, I love goats, by the way. Since you love goats so much, we thought you would enjoy a goat this Christmas. We gave a goat in your name to help a family. Love your church family. Somewhere in this world, there's a family with a goat that didn't have a goat. We're going to call that goat Dandy, just for fun. Some family has a dandy goat, and that goat is giving them milk that they didn't have before, and their children are eating. That goat may be helping them earn money so that they can provide more food for themselves. That goat is helping a family not starve. That goat is helping a family build a farm and figure out how to take care of their own food needs. Now my favorite goat. I think that goat that I'll never meet is now my favorite goat. Friends, we live as followers of Jesus to exercise lavish, unrestrained generosity. We live as followers of Jesus to be people of unrestrained, lavish grace, because that's exactly how Jesus has been to us. Give more. Give more. Precisely because Jesus gave it all. Pray with me, O Lord God.